us here.
Reconvene this assembly meeting at 8:10 p.m. Item 12, unfinished business, we have none. Item 13A, approval of an alley vacation request to vacate the remainder of an alleyway adjacent to Lot A and Lot C, Bay Company replat, and of a request to purchase a portion of Lot 1 and Lot 2, Block B, Sort Yard subdivision, zoned waterfront development, requested by David Powell, manager of the Bay Company, owned by Chet and BJ Powell.
I'm going to sit down.
Go ahead.
I move to approve the alley vacation request to vacate the remainder of an alleyway adjacent Lot A and Lot C, Bay Company replat, and the request to purchase a portion of Lot 1 and Lot 2, Block B, Sort Yard subdivision, zoned waterfront development, requested by David Powell, manager of the Bay Company, owned by Chet and BJ Powell.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes.
In looking at this, I asked Carol to draw, reading Carol's letter and planning and boarding, and there's some opposition or discussion. I shouldn't say opposition, but I asked Carol to take a look at this and give us an option of what she thought was best. And I appreciate it if Carol would step up and kind of explain, and would you pass those out?
You have the request information that was requested by somebody on the region.
If you've all got the map in front of you, it shows a set of power poles going down there, and basically we have to retain an easement where those power poles are at. But I maintain if we keep a right-of-way from the power pole back, it wouldn't interfere with David's operation because he can't build underneath power poles anyway. So the power poles is the main divider of this lot. Where the power poles go, it's kind of a no man's land. You can't build under it. We've got to have an easement to access the power. So I guess listening to Carol a little bit, we still need to keep the option maybe of having a corridor down through there that we can't get through. Carol, would you mind going through A and B?
Yeah, sure. First, I would like to say the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Port Commission have both recommended to vacate the alleyway and sell land to the Bay Company up to the fence line, okay? I, throughout the whole process, have had many conversations with the applicant, but I'm from a long-term planning perspective, I have recommended that we maintain some sort of a right-of-way through this area. It doesn't have to be utilized now. You could still enter into some land use agreement with Bay Company to utilize it for storage, which is what they want to do. But, and I'm just looking the long term of a mid-block access on Front Street. Okay, so I'm talking 40, 50 years out. Who knows what's going to happen? But it's a lot of times it's the city's policy not to vacate right-of-ways because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Okay, so having said that, Port and P&Z did make the recommendation. So based on what I had recommended at one point to the Planning and Zoning Commission, for Assemblyman Mitchell, I drew up, and my thought was you had several options. One was you do vacate the entire alleyway, and then you use that south property boundary as, that, this, I guess I'm on option B first. The south property boundary of the old alley becomes the north property boundary of the new alley, and you go over 20 foot, and then the remaining from there to the fence line is easement because you have sewer and water stubs coming out of there from that service those shops and lease lots that go into somewhere in this alleyway right away. You have electrical poles. Clay has requested 15 foot on both sides of the center pole of the electrical. So you're still maintaining an alleyway. Option A is more or less the same thing, but the easement part of it moves to the other side. So you're pivoting the alley from the Front Street corner, and you're using the fence line as the south property boundary of the alleyway. And then the rest is easement up to the old alleyway to encompass the needs by the electrical. The third option would be if you base your decision on a recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Port Commission, I would request that what is currently proposed as a utility easement be changed to a utility and access easement so that you at least have some access for the future. It doesn't have to be utilized now, but at some point, way down the road, if it's necessary, the city has it. So, does that answer your questions?
Let's go ahead.
So in option C, where you talk about a utility and access easement, utility easement would allow for access to maintain utilities, correct?
A utility easement, yeah, allows the line crew to get in there and do whatever they have to do for their electrical. Yes, access would be potential foot traffic or whatever might be necessary down the road. Yes.
Okay. What I mean, so public I was access. Looking for maybe a little more clarity of what kind of access that could be.
It just allows for some type of access to be determined at a much later date. You can say we're not going to do this now, but we want to preserve it for the future. So that, you know, because if you're selling them that land and you change it to a utility access easement, I would make an agreement with them to some fact that we're not, you know, we are or we aren't planning on using access now, but it could be foot traffic, it might be whatever you want it to be, but it would be a public access of some sort.
Okay. So to further on that, so basically if the property owner then were to build, they wouldn't want to build there because the city could utilize their access easement.
They cannot build in the easement anyway because it is the power lines are over it. So you cannot build in an easement. So even as a utility easement, they cannot build in it. The question, I know they're looking at potentially fencing that off and using that for storage, okay? So by fencing it off, you would be blocking off access potential now. Which, you know, okay. I'm just saying, but for the long term, it allows the city to come back and say, hey, things have changed down here. We need this access here. Or, you know, maybe only a portion of it is an access easement. But I don't recommend, and again, I'm looking at it from a long-term planning perspective of eliminating some sort of access between Front Street and Silver Nail Work Road or that yard area. But that's, like I said, that's just my recommendation.
So originally the Bay Company was asking for option A. Is that what what they're asking for?
No, they were actually asking for option C, where they want to vacate the entire alleyway and purchase up to the fence line. That's what they're requesting.
And purchase
the utility easements.
Yeah, and a utility easement will be placed there. That's okay. Yeah. I mean, the city has to do that.
Okay, my next question is there other access opportunities between where the snow building is and the city market lot ends? There seems to be kind of a dead
it's
space.
It's all private property.
It's all private property.
No. City access easement through right between City Market and Jenkins lot.
This is utility easement. And then utility easement? I don't think it's access easement.
No, I think it is, girl.
I'll have to go pull a plat because I think that's a utility easement. I don't know. I thought it was only a utility easement, and I don't know that it stretches from front to back. I thought it was just
part way
through the street.
It stretches from front to back.
It's just part way through there, and it's just a utility easement. It's only, it takes about 5 feet of my lot, and I think it's.
Yeah, I don't think it goes all the way through.
Hold on.
I'd have to check.
Let's not read discussion from the audience. If you got something to say, come up and speak. Quiet, please.
So it sounds like there's a little bit of confusion about other options.
Well, the only option that I would know at this point in time is because the city owns the lot from, say, that fence line on over, so yes, you can, you know, there's a right of way through there right now that's being looked at vacating and maybe changing the easement through there or something, or not. So because the city owns that lot right now, yes, potentially in the future, you could do something. So yes, you could move it further, but you don't have, there's not a guarantee right now that an access would remain. So the city could sell those two lots, the city could subdivide further, you know, and yes, we could put one in when that happens. I'm just saying, so you would have to do it somewhere between the fence line and over to the coal storage.
Go ahead.
Silvernail comes around to Front Street.
Correct.
And I'm not sure that, oh, here, let me show it on here. So
it is not where the actual driving lane is. It is up towards the top, but then where it goes to the building, is actually the driving lane actually shifts between where those, yeah, to right there.
To right here.
So P&Z separately is looking at the potential of vacating Silvernail, that would then provide a lease space right there, mm-hmm. and actually putting maybe in an easement or somehow they're changing the access through there to where it actually is.
So I'm just...
They've just started those discussions.
So right now the access is like this.
Correct.
But the planning zoning hasn't sort of caught up with itself as far as
correct.
Planning zoning. It doesn't seem like this is entirely that important if you have already a large access here.
It's a mid-block point. One thing that may, depending on what happens with Silvernail, and it's perfectly doable, if you lose the alleyway and you lose an easement to those back lots will have to be subdivided into one big lot, which it's doable through this whole plot process, because you cannot have a lot without some sort of right-of-way frontage or access easement.
Can you point to what you're talking about, please?
Okay. Depending on what happens with Silvernail, right now you have this back lot right here. I don't know if y'all can see it. This back lot right here and this back lot here that belongs to the Bay Company. City owns this one, Bay Company owns this one. Right now, Silvernail comes through here, so you have a guaranteed access to this lot and to this lot. If this no longer is an access easement or an alleyway, and Silvernail is vacated at some point, I don't know where, whether it will be or not, this is a what if, but if it is back here or wherever, these lots will have to be subdivided into one, and Bay Company will have to add this lot to this lot, because you cannot have a lot that does not have a guaranteed access to it, either road frontage or a right-of-way frontage or an easement. But that's doable. I'm not saying that's doable, but it plays into sort of how the access is provided.
Am I missing something about why would they vacate that entire section of Silvernail? That doesn't seem to make sense to me.
That's for a discussion.
That's,
at
yeah.
Another time.
I mean,
that's
because the Board Commission wants this as a lease lot and doesn't believe that you need the 60-foot right of way. Again, this was established initially way back when for barge traffic.
Okay.
Yes, people share. So anyway, that's a conversation still be had with planning zoning. Board Commission has already recommended that Silvernail be vacated from some point to some point.
Any further questions for Kurt? Thank you. Any further questions from comments from the assembly?
I guess I would like to hear from the Bay Company on mm-hmm. how these plans would meet their needs or not meet their needs before I sort of move forward, because in essence we're here to address your request.
David Powell, Burger Street. I'm manager of the Bay Company. Carol's right. We've had a lot of discussions. We've had two open meetings down there with planning and zoning to discuss this whole situation here. I've had many meetings with Greg about the port and access through here and all that stuff, and some way it gets where everybody wants access through here. If Councilman Decker, you're right, the access over here, there's actually four, if I'm correct, huge accesses to these the property out there for the yard, okay? The alleyway, the 20-foot alleyway, the only problem that I have, and I expressed this to Planning and Zoning and the Port Commission, and they agreed with me that it's, if we go with Carol's thing with option A or B, I understand what she's saying about an alleyway. I just don't get the point of having the alleyway, for one. Okay? I understand 40 years from now, I ain't going to be here 40 years from now, neither are you guys. I'm trying to expand my building to expand for I could sell more goods and basically pay the city more taxes by getting this property. The other thing is Carl, he ain't with us anymore, but I talked to Carl about if we kept the alley, if you guys kept the alleyway, well, are you guys going to improve it? And Carl says, well, it doesn't make no benefit to me, so why would I improve it? Well, then I go back to the same situation. If I don't own the land, why would I improve it? So that's why I really went to option C, was to vacate. And also, I can't build anything on it. And then I also made the comment, which Carol says is possible, but very hard to do. I said, well, in 40 years now, if you want to take that easement out of there and take the land back, you can. Which you could, the city could do that, a little bit harder, but they could do that. I mean, I just don't see the purpose of having an alleyway down there for any access when you have four large accesses into the yard right now. And the foot traffic, like Carol says, in 40 years, I'm not looking at 40 years expanding my business. I'm looking at expanding my business tomorrow, not 40 years from now. So I don't see where any of these other access options are good for expanding my business and putting this land on the tax rolls. If you have any, I mean, it's, I just don't see it. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anything further from the public? Yes.
Under option C, if so, this motion would have to be amended to do this, but what I would like to understand better is if we approve this as a utility easement and a public access easement, and at some time in the future, 40 years down the road or whatnot, we want access to that, do we have to pay to basically get that property back because he's purchased it? How does that work?
Yeah. I just wonder if there's if we can't come to some kind of agreement here, like option B with the still that portion on option B and a lease on the remainder of it for a long-term lease.
There.
Yeah. Go ahead.
See the point. There is another option. We could just take it at the power line, sell everything on Dave's side to him on the power line. At the power line going the opposite direction towards the boatyard, there's a big enough slice there, if you look at it, that the power line is the one with the little X's on. So you see the line going down through with the little X's, that's the power line. So if you took it from the power line towards the boatyard, Dave can't build on anything underneath the power line. We can't build on anything underneath the power line. Dave would have the power line going towards him. The boatyard could still retain that that utility easement and that access in that slice on the opposite side of the power line. That seems like that would be a good middle ground. You're giving everything to Dave that he can build on, and we're keeping a narrow strip of ground that we could have a sidewalk or something. I don't. One option.
Is the P's then? What are the P's on this? Are they power lines?
It depends on which map you're looking at.
I thought that the X's were a security fence and the P's were the power line.
On this one, you're correct. On that map, that's correct.
This one, no.
Okay, so. So then to the power line, which would still leave that back area there for the other lease lot. Okay.
Yeah, so if this borough kept this side of the power lines and everything, that side of the power line was sold. That would still give you enough of an access behind these buildings that if you ever wanted at some date in the future to put a sidewalk through there, there'd be plenty of room to do it.
I think, Mr. Mayor?
You know, there's a lot of options.
Right.
You know, I see this as having some pretty good access back into the boatyard. And I, you know, the Bay Company is a business that's been in this community for a very long time. And they have invested a lot of money to build up this business and to do a lot for the community in terms of being responsible business owners. And what kind of bothers me is the thought of, well, we may want to do something over here at some point with these other lots that the city owns, and to take away from the Bay Company, that would, I think that would be, you know, somewhat unfair. I appreciate that we have to have an easement, but at the same time, we have a company that's here today that's looking to expand its area. So, you know, I would hate to alter it a whole lot from what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Weighing the benefits, I guess the pluses or minuses of, you know, withholding a portion of that for the city for some potential sidewalk in the future or walkway or other access, versus the real potential for an existing business to expand, I kind of side with Steve. I in my mind, when there's access not too far away that's quite large, I think the benefit to the community is getting it on the tax rolls, and, you know, making sure we have access to utilities, of course, but I see it's more beneficial to the community to help a local business expand.
Greg, would you come up and discuss the item, the issue of the access, please?
No, you're waving me off again.
We might.
12 Second Avenue. There's a lot of reference to access to the boatyard. As David mentioned, and as you just mentioned, there are many access points to the yard in general. You've got Silvernail on this end. You've got a 36-foot wide gate across from Ramey's Bar. There's a 32-foot wide gate on the south side of the coal storage between coal storage and Trident Seafoods. And there's also a 16-foot gate between what we call the totem shed, which is on the top right yellow corner, and the big between Jenkins Welding there. You guys know where that's at?
Mm-hmm.
If not, I can point at it. But in a different discussion, I recommended even plotting those. If they want to, I use the word plot, whatever they would do to make those legal access points binding and not disappear, thus ensuring that that lot always has access off Front Street and Silvernail and Shake Street, you could do so. We can't function without those access points either. So I'm comfortable marking them where they are forever and indicating that. It was a different discussion why we talked about that, but there is access for us. And in the gate you're referring to in the alleyway, we put it there when we put the gate in 07, not knowing what was where and what we needed. We threw gates all over the place. That was one. Of course, now with the utility easement there, it's an unusable gate. There's a little 16-foot gate there, but it's unusable for us, as is. So, I mean, the site outside the gate doesn't offend me at all. In 2007, I put the fence in and told Bob Caldwell, everything outside the fence is yours. What we need is inside, so.
Further questions? Thank you. Any further comments? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
No.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, proposed resolution. Resolution number 02-15-1313. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Langille, Alaska, providing for the amendment of the job description for the maintenance position.
I'll move to adopt resolution number 02-15-1313 that updates the mechanic job description for the Public Works Department.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Yes. Good question. I don't know if it's relevant here or not, but when we read these job descriptions, I'd kind of like to see what the salary ranges of these particular positions are, too, especially with everything we've got going on with the budget and stuff.
My, is it, would this be kind of monetarily equitable? I mean, it'd be neutral, it'd be...
It's the, what's going on is we had a position, part-time employee, half-time employee, that retired. And so anyway, whenever we have a position leave like that, just the protocol with us is we look at the job description. Is this still reasonable, whatever? The job pay would stay where it's at, and that's something that's approved by the assembly, and we can certainly provide that in the future. So the pay range doesn't change. It's just there's some things in this that don't apply anymore. There's just some updates that, you know, we look to change whenever we do this. So anyway, that's... But in the future, we certainly can, we can include that, the pay range for the whole city, and say, you know, here is this person. And but the job description, again, is because someone, we're changing it because someone retired. And like I said, we look at any time someone leaves a position, we review it to make sure that it's still applicable, and that any changes we want to make at that time for any future, that person in the future, that position in the future, are addressed at that time. So it's harder once you hire someone and say, okay, we hired you at this, you quit another job, come to work here, and then 2 months later, well, now you've got to do this and this and be qualified to do this. So it's the time to do it when someone leaves, and we just do that on every time that happens.
Yeah, it's understandable. I just kind of like to know, I can take what you're listing here is duties and responsibilities and compare that to a pay range, and at times it might be appropriate to say maybe we need to look at adjusting the pay range for this particular position also.
Okay, and we do look at that portion of it too. If it significantly changes, either we want them to have more responsibility, or it's something now we don't need that much responsibility, we can have less. That's something we would do. I think in this case, generally the person is going to be doing the same thing as the last person did, but I think there's some recruiting things that we felt the previous job maybe would be more restrictive in getting a person that we could actually hire in rank. Well, sometimes we'll put things in there that, you know, it's preferred that they have all this, but it's not a requirement to apply and to get the job, because oftentimes you're not going to find that person here. But in the future, we will.
Any further discussion? Roll, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, approval to renew a, oh, I'll begin on that. My finger too big. Approval of the Shoemaker Bay Harbor Engineering Design Services Task 1 Fee Proposal.
Make a motion to approve PND Engineers Cost Proposal for Shoemaker Bay Harbor Rehabilitation Design Task 1 Field Assessments in the amount of $134,469, with funding to come from the borough's DCCED grant.
I'll second it.
Been moved and second. Discussion.
I have a question for Jeff. Are those funds designated just for that purpose? They can't be shifted for anything else? Okay, that's my only question.
Good question.
Any other comments or questions? Hold, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, approval to renew a contract zoning agreement for a portion of lot one and lots 2, 3, and 5 of block 12, U.S. Survey 1119.
Move to approve the renewal of the contract zoning agreement for a portion of lot 1 and lots 2 and 3 and 5 of block 12 USS 1119 for Evie Fenimore, and to approve the transfer of said agreement to Mike Matney, potential buyers of the said property once the sale is finalized.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I have a question. Wouldn't it be more prudent, because from what I read on this, Ms. Fenimore's contract zoning agreement actually expired back in, what, 2005 or 6 or something like that? So there's not really one in effect at all. Wouldn't it be better for Mr. Matney to just come up and apply for his own and start fresh?
Can I have Carol address that?
Okay. Yes, you can.
Can you? I guess I can.
You know, it was an oversight on everybody's part that that was not renewed in 05. She has continued to operate it as per the contract. The buyer is buying this based on the fact that it would be, it would continue to be able to be operated, but the renewal needs to happen. And so we've gone this route so that she's renewed an automatic transfer. Otherwise, he would probably not buy that property.
Okay.
And so it's sort of on condition of.
Any further questions? Discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E. Proposed resolution number 02-15-1312, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Langley, Alaska, in support of full funding for the State of Alaska Harbor Facility Grant Program in the fiscal year 2016 capital budget.
Move to adopt resolution number 02-15-1312 that supports full funding for the State of Alaska Harbor Facility Grant Program for fiscal year 2016 capital budget.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? I don't have to read this whole resolution. Thank you.
You can type it faster than we can talk.
Yeah, especially me. No discussion. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Item 13F. Approval to eliminate the finance department temporary office position and to replace it with a permanent part-time position.
I move to approve the attached plan to create a new job position for the finance department and authorize staff to formalize a new job description and pay range and to bring both back to the assembly for approval.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion.
Who seconded that? I'm sorry.
Daniel.
It bothers me a bit to see Jeff giving up part of his pay to fund this position. I really appreciate that he's willing to do that, especially in light of all the things that we've heard. I spoke with Jeff today to ask him if there was any way that this could be done without doing that, and he felt that it was most prudent to do it this way. And so I also really appreciate that they are extremely short-staffed. And they have been doing a fantastic job after some serious cuts in that department. And they have been putting in a great effort, and that this will be a way to help them with collections. And hopefully that will help to offset the cost of the position because people can only work so hard so long and then they burn out. And so we need to take care of the folks that are working tough, especially going into this tough time. But again, I want to just say how much I appreciate Jeff and his family for foregoing part of their wage to make that happen.
Yes.
I would say that is highly unusual. In fact, I don't know that I can ever say that I've seen a government official during times of cuts put their own self first. So thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that.
And
yes.
And I feel strong about the reason we're doing this. And I certainly understand that in a time when we may be at some point cutting employees, this, you'd think this isn't the time to do something like this. However, I think that there's enough collections out there that is not being done now because they just don't have the time to do it, that it will easily pay for this position. And if it doesn't, I would be willing to pick up the other half of it. So, because if it doesn't go, I know the person in the job works extremely hard, is extremely frustrated because she feels that, you know, all this isn't getting done and it's her fault, and it's not. And she works, you know, weekends, and it will cut some overtime. But I think what's going to happen is she's no longer going to be there, and so I'm going to be in doing payroll with Lee's help, and so I'm not going to be doing anybody else any good if I'm in there. So it's something I think that is important. I think it will pay for itself, and if the plan for some reason doesn't work, we'll address it at that time. If it's not benefiting, I think one other thing is we have an employee that it's said probably in the next 3 or 4 years they will be retiring. It's good to have a part-time person in place that is familiar with what's going in there. And if it gets to that point in 3 years, it might be one of those things, this person would move into the retired person's job and we wouldn't renew it at that point if it's not working. And, but I think it is important. We've got, you know, really a young staff as far as experience goes, and I think it's something that is needed. So anyway, and I don't feel bad about it, so don't.
We you haven't all. Told your wife yet?
She knows now.
She knows now. It's on the radio. No,
we all
I
appreciate it very, very much.
So anyway, we're fine.
Any further questions, comments? Hold on, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Persunka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file.
I don't think there was one.
Doesn't look like there's any itemized list this time, so we'll go on to item 15, executive session. There is none, so the final item on our agenda is the adjournment, which we will do at 8:48.